Wow, don't worry, Alvin. Alvin, I must say though, like before, we heard you say, I heard you say something when I was editing. You said mum twice, but I think you forgot that you was recording.
I mean, I said what twice?
You had the mic. You said mum twice, you know.
Oh, she's probably in the room, or like, in the in the doorway.
Oh, it's calm. It's calm. Yeah. But yeah, how's everyone's week been though? There we go. Let's give us a little small chat.
Oh, thanks, mate.
How's everyone's week been?
I'm hearing it. I'm not dead.
I hear that still. COVID taking out people. Yeah, COVID killing my people.
It's true.
Sepsis is taking out my people.
The NHS people, like, what you mean?
Yesterday, I don't want to. This can't go in the podcast. It can't go in the podcast. It can't go in the podcast. Justin, yeah. Please don't put this in the podcast.
Nah, go on,
I'm confused. Alvin, have you shared your screen so I can only? I'm really confused.
Oh, are you still? Oh, it's still shared. Sorry, let me unshare it.
I was thinking, why can I see you twice? There's nothing wrong with me seeing you twice. I was just curious. I thought something was going on with my computer.
Nah, it's not shared.
No, I think it's just the update.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough, cool.
Can you see me?
Actually, yeah. I was trying to decide whether I should get a new phone. That's what I was trying to decide. Because I bought the gimbal thing. Yeah. So I'm trying to decide if I should get the iPhone 12. Well, then I looked at my bank account, and then it said
the account decided for you.
It said Alcatel.
Insignificant funds, you know.
Like that. No, but I looked at it though. The cam, like, the thing is, iPhones actually have the best camera. I'll give that to you.
Hands down.
Huawei.
Yeah, I just want one, man. But I think I might get an iPad instead. We'll see.
I think the size of iPhones these days, you don't even need. I've got an iPad. I don't use it. Like,
I'll sell it to me.
No. Because when I don't want to take my laptop, then the iPad's.
Yeah, I hear that.
But now, because I've got a new laptop. They're so light. Because my old MacBook was, that thing was heavy. That nearly stopped me coming back from Dubai.
Where? Oh, luggage thing.
I'm not joking. As in, my laptop made my hand luggage too heavy.
No way.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was just like, so what do you want me to do? Like, I can't leave the laptop. Like, yeah. I'm not leaving that. And then he was looking at me like, well, it's either you take it off or you're not getting on the flight. I said,
thank you.
I said, I'm in Dubai, I can't. What do you mean? I was so scared. I was, because my family had gone through the other side, it was just me.
This. We could actually record this, is like visually.
The ones, you know.
I was so upset.
Muted, you know.
We can actually record this visually, it's recordable. I just realized.
No. Not how I'm looking.
No, look at actually, you can. I don't care.
No, I care. So sweet, I will come off camera. It's very simple.
Oh gosh. Okay.
I think I've already done my best.
Cool. Let's get into the chapter then. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Lord bless us as we discuss this chapter. Amen.
Why am I have to come with that narrative though? Like,
nah, you know what? The working on like
the narrative of prayer. Speak
no,
to me.
It's the voice that you use when you pray, Alvin.
Oh, the accent.
Yeah, so he says.
Okay, I'll say yeah.
I ain't got nothing against prayer.
Lord bless us as we go into this episode. Amen.
Amen.
Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
Are you locked into the After Sundown Podcast?
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Okay, so yeah, the working life.
What a chapter.
I always start with like me reading the chapter, like that process of doing that, and like I actually didn't know what it was going to talk about. Like, it is kind of self-explanatory, but then that statement can kind of go over your head a little bit. Yeah, so because even when I asked Joash to do the downtime for it and that, like, I felt sorry for him still, because I was like, bro, I don't know what you're gonna say or whatever. He managed to do a good job still. He did a good job. I'm proud of him. You know what? I couldn't take him seriously though. You know, take him seriously, but I can't, like, because this is the same guy that like was laughing during prayer, bro.
Inquire.
You get me? So it's hard, bro. But like he delivered with that stuff. Go check that out. It's on the Insta. So first statement. So it says, God is a source of life and light and joy of the universe. Like rays of light from the sun, like streams from water bursting out from the living springs. Blessings flow from him and all his creatures, and whatsoever the life of God is in the hearts of men, it will flow out to others in the love and blessing. Yeah, boy. Self-explanatory, but goes over your head. So, no. It is like obviously you can read it, but I had to read the first part like twice. So the self-explanatory part is he's why are people messaging it? See, I hate this, you know. Because
what have I done?
No, because things easily distract me. Oh, things very easily distract me. It's cool.
Well, it needs to be addressed, so.
Yeah. So, essentially, the first line of that reminded me of the song, like, God is a source and the strength for my life. It reminded me of that. God is the joy and the strength of my life.
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah. Banger, yeah.
Debatable.
I actually really like that song still. And it's kind of similar to the first chapter in the sense of where it's talking about nature and stuff in it. And all nature kind of comes from him. I was watching something today actually about it was so random. I was on Netflix and it's talking about alien planets and stuff and what it takes for life to kind of grow and stuff. So that kind of just like, yeah, that's just a thought. So it just reminded me of that.
When I read the title, obviously I knew that it was going to be about work and life. But then when you go into the chapter, it sort of answers a lot of questions. Like, really, the chapter sort of slapped me about the face, if that makes sense. Where it was talking about the relationship between what it means to follow Christ and what it means to work, who we're working for, what should our life's work be, like our absolute life's mission, what is the priority, the A1 priority of life, what is the order of how does working for Christ and working for the salvation of others tie in with our own literal jobs, tie in with every aspect of our lives. Jesus' example with that, it was a mad chapter to what when I read it, because what we're called to do, I don't know if we've ever fulfilled. Oh, sorry, let me not say that. I don't know if I've ever fulfilled, but like I'm sort of jumping the gun there.
Do you think it's easier? Because when I was reading it, I was thinking that I think sometimes we come up with excuses as to how effectively we can integrate our ministry with our work. Because I think in some careers, it's a lot easier than others.
Mm.
And I think do you know what I mean? Like, say, for example, a pasta, like, obviously, well, I mean, if you're not doing, then it's a bit of a problem.
I was going to say something, but I can't even say it. It's mad.
But some jobs are a lot easier to integrate than others. Some people's work is their life. Other people like to separate. Do you know what I mean? They can separate their work from their life. It's like that classic thing of, oh, don't mix work with play, or... Do you know what I mean?
Pleasure. I had the pleasure.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Whatever it's called.
I think for some work, for example, again, like you saying, like, it intertwines with it, innit? Like, for example, I'm trying to think of a career. Finances. Depending on what level you're at, like, your work almost, you take it home with you. I know in a lot of social care job, you take your work home with you in caseloads and stuff. So it's almost like you can't even get it out of your head, almost. I don't think I've had that experience yet, because I haven't hit those. I feel like it happens more towards, like, when you're like a manager, or when you're like, you know, like them really like professional jobs and stuff, you got a lot of responsibility. I feel like it happens a lot there. You definitely take your work home with you. Yeah, that's interesting though. You say that as well. Okay.
But I think the work can, like, define your life, even though you might have the separation. It can definitely define you. For example, I know when I go to introduce myself when I'm older, one of the first things that will probably come out of my mouth is the fact that I will be a doctor, because that is my work, but that is also my life.
Do you think that's a bad thing or a good thing? Go on, sorry.
Yeah. Go on, Justin.
No, I was going to say it's a great thing. Because the thing is, imagine, like, all them times that you watch, like, a film, and, like, it's like, oh, who's the doctor on the plane? you can now be like, oh my gosh, I'm a doctor. It's just like, yeah, it's just like, man, I've made it. I mean, like, it's in the South. It's a kind of like, this is not just work, but it's also my life now. As in, I have to now uphold that image of, like, yeah, this is me. Get me? I'm now a doctor in life, and everything I do, I'm gonna be a doctor. So yeah, and not just it that, just a medical doctor. You can be a doctor in anything. Get me?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think it does help to, like, give purpose to your life, but I can also appreciate other people's jobs, so to speak, might not be their life. So some people will say, you know, they're a wife first before their career, or a mother first before their career, or a parent or whatever. Do you get what I mean? And that is that's how they would define their life. Some people might introduce themselves first and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm a Christian. That I don't think people tend to do that. If you know, when you go to meet someone or whatever, people don't usually say, oh, hi, I'm so and so, and they say their religion. But if someone said that to me when they introduced themselves, I would know automatically that their priority was actually being a Christian. Whereas, say, if I introduced myself and said, oh, I'm Dr. so and so, then you would probably come to the conclusion that her priority and her life is being a doctor, because that's what I'm introducing you as. When Jesus introduced himself, he introduced himself with his purpose straight away.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I get what you're saying. I think it could also be a bad thing, though, as well, in terms of...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, people overstating or stating something. Okay, you are that, but that's not why we're here. We're eating food. It's not about being... all of us have degrees here. On the end of our name, technically, there's like a title change in it. So, like,
is there?
Yeah. It's kind of technical.
Yeah, it will have your name and then, like, BSc or BA or.
Yeah. So,
like. Hey, stay calm.
So, if you're walking into a restaurant and they say, you know, or just some random place, and you just keep announcing yourself as, you know, people. Some people see it as pretentious. Some people don't really like it, because it, for some people, it's their own insecurities. But I know for other people, they're just like, I don't care what you are, I'm gonna serve you. You know what I'm saying? So I think sometimes, I've seen it and it's normally been people that, you know, do have high positions, you can kind of get almost self-righteous in terms of, or like upping yourself, okay, relax, bro, you got the big position, just relax, it's all right.
No, I was gonna ask a question though, like, as in,
that's my question, go on.
Like, obviously, in like, I think it's SC 77.3.
Yeah.
Like, as in, when it's like, when the love of Christ is enshrined in the heart, the sweet fragrance cannot be hidden. Its holy influence can be felt by all with whom we come into contact. Yeah.
Mm.
What do people think about that? I feel like that for me was like raw. Like, as in, you stink with the Holy Spirit. Like, as in, when you're wrapped with Christ, you stink with the Holy Spirit now. Yeah. That people now see that light. As in, people now look at you like mad. There's something about you. I may not be physically able to touch it, but I can smell it on you. You get me? Like, has someone ever come to you? Like, as in, you're maybe talking to a new girl, like, and they see something about you, and it's like raw. Something about you that I like, but I don't know what it is. But it smells lovely, and it's fragrant, and I love it. You get me?
They're smelling Jesus, I don't think most girls are smelling Jesus.
That's what I mean. Not to take it.
I don't like. I know what you mean. I think. Have you ever experienced, like, I know for me, when I've worked in certain places, but this is kind of negative, innit? In certain places, it smells a certain way. Even in hospitals, it smells a certain way, innit? And it's almost like, okay, you put on the uniform, red hair, you go in, because you're in work so much, you're in it so much, you're around it so much, you're touching it so much, red hair. When you come out of it now, it's almost like you can still smell it on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. So that's immediately what I thought of, because I remember one time, when I first started one of my jobs and that, and like, yeah, I'd come out of work, and literally, bro, like, I still smell it on myself. Like, I'd be frustrated, like, straight in the shower when I get home, because it's a mad thing. It was the dishwashing thing store. And I almost worked as a bin man. We won't go into that story.
The what's interesting is the description of it being a sweet fragrance. So that, as opposed to it being something that smells dank or nasty, it's like, I don't want to say Lynx, because Lynx is cheap. It's a sort of Dior type.
A smell.
Dior.
Alvin's too good for Lynx now. Sorry.
No. Listen, this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
Certain listeners are going to be triggered by that statement.
Listen, you're never too good for Lynx Africa.
I already know.
You're never too good.
Not even Lynx chocolate.
No, I'm a Lynx user. I was just thinking, like, the Holy Spirit is, okay, we've got about 8 minutes before we have to. Let's see how much it costs.
I did put it in a chat.
Cameron's a dark temptation.
Okay, the upgrade button's not working.
Mm.
Okay, but yeah, Justin said something like, we're talking about work being your life. What would you say is the central thing that drives you? Like, so some people are driven, in terms of like their life purpose, some people are driven by work, or work is every, like, their whole life revolves around work. Other people, so another way to put it, some people live to work, and other people work so that they can live. But then, what would you say for yourself is the personal thing that drives you to work? But also, what is the work that you would say you enjoy the most? What is it about work that you enjoy the most?
It's just, I don't know if it's just because of the way that I've been conditioned all my life, but like, for me, a job does help with my purpose, in terms of, because I've asked God specifically, is the career that I'm going into something that you desire for me? So I do see it as my career adding to my purpose to carry out God's will, that I believe is God's will at this current stage of my life. But I do think it does help, because I'm a type of person who likes to have goals and achievements, and having a career has allowed me to have something to focus on and something to reach towards. So I know I can literally have like a five, like at 18 I could have a 5-year plan in terms of with my education.
Yeah.
Whereas if I didn't know what I wanted to do, I may not know exactly how I want to do it, but I know I want to do it, but I wouldn't necessarily have that what's what I'm thinking for, like that trajectory, like I know where I'm going. So like my next goal, for example, would be to get a house. Obviously to get a house I need money, so to be honest all I need is a job to do that. But before, to get where I needed to be, I knew, oh, I need to go through education. So I think for me it just helps me to have a purpose and a plan, so I'm not just doing whatever. But that's just because of the type of person I am. I just like to have that kind of rigid structure. Quite boring, but that's me.
How much thingy do you have left?
6 minutes.
Okay.
Watch it though.
Alright. I was gonna say, in terms of my journey with work, it's always been like my I just wanna get to a point where I don't really have to work like that, you know, like it sounds mad, but I don't really like working that hard, to be honest. Like if I don't have to, am I killing myself? You know what I mean?
I feel like that's most people, you know. Well, actually no, let me not. That's me.
Yeah. Like for me, and my journey in terms of like the career where I wanted to be, like it took like a little bit of like a divert, and it's kind of like, but I feel like God's been kind of keeping me on the same type of trajectory. I think for me, my outcome to work is to create like a family in it, and to give my kids certain things that I didn't have, and just give them that certain level of comfortability that I did have as well. Because I think sometimes, especially with me, I forgot, like the way how I want to live my life, or the way I want to like raise my kids or whatever, I want to give them stuff that I didn't have, but I also want to give them everything I did have as well in it. So for me, that's my kind of goal in it, in terms of working anyway. I'm thinking about it.
Just
you
got 4 minutes.
Rose,
what's happening? What was the question?
I can't remember what the question was, but like, why do you work? Why do you work as hard as you work? What is it that drives you to work?
The question is, do I work hard?
Okay, let me scratch that. Why do you work not hard? What drives you to work?
But Justin, you actually, you graph. Yeah, you actually graph.
I'm a hard worker still.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
yeah, Justin graphs still.
Nah, but I hate people knowing that I work hard, you know what I mean? But like, for the record, like, I work 7 days a week. And the reason why I graph hard is because, like, anyway, the things that I want, I've worked for, you know what I mean? Like, as in, there's things that, like, my parents are probably paid for. But then I don't really like, I'm not that type of person that would now go to my mom and be like, oh, borrow me this or borrow me some money. I don't like doing that, so I do that. I work hard simply because, like, I like my money, so obviously I want more of it, so I graft even harder. And sometimes I skip out on times, so be it. Sometimes I evade tax. I'm joking, I can't do that physically. You're not allowed to do that. You can't do that in England. But yeah,
you actually can't do that.
So you can't do
I don't know what Alvis looks like. Mad concerned.
Listen, HMRC is always listening. That's what I'm gonna say.
No, you can't. So you be can't careful do what you say. Anyway, like.
I got a rebate from the man the other day. You know, I got a cheeky little rebate from them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah, fair play, fair play. From the store.
I'm looking nice, forward to my rebate.
Must be nice.
It went, though. Yeah. It went. I spent it already.
Wow. So. Nah, but I just grab hard for me, man, because like I just like I'm just to stay busy as well, like rather than just staying at home.
Yeah.
I feel like when I'm home doing nothing, it's easier for me to now call someone and be like, "Yo, you wanna chill?" So yeah, I just prefer working.
Up to no good.
Amen. Basically, the devil makes work for idle hands. Stay busy, folks. Okay,
so
I'm gonna
stay busy and get money as well.
I'm gonna kill this and then does Skype do
open
longer
another
than this?
Zoom.
Skype, does it go longer than this?
Bro, I'm not downloading Skype.
It does go longer. Right. Maybe we should do that for our future
for
episodes.
Future.
We'll
kill this one and then I'll start a new one. I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for you and me, but this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Beams of heaven as I go through this wilderness below, guide my feet in peaceful peaceful ways. Turn my midnight into day when in the darkness I would grope, faith always sees a star of hope, and to that land of peace and glory, whatever the words are, I've got to go. Someday I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for me. Wow.
Wait, what are we talking about next?
Okay, so I don't know. I was gonna ask a question. So, with what's interesting and the bit where I felt slapped up by the chapter is, I think my answer with regards to why I work is largely the same as you guys is, not really any different. And yet the chapter seems to suggest an entirely different view of why we should work, like of what our priority with work should be, which is mad. Does anyone want to go into that?
Just tell me where you think that starts, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Okay, so from page 78, paragraph 1, it says, the Saviour's life on earth was not a life of ease and devotion to himself, but he toiled with persistence, earnestness, untiring effort, for the salvation of lost mankind. From the manger to Calvary, he followed the path of self-denial and sought not to be released from arduous tasks, painful travels, and exhausting care and labor. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And then he goes on to say, "This was the one great object of his life. Everything else was secondary and subservient. It was his meat and drink to do the will of God and to finish his work. Self-interest had no part in his labor." And when I read that, I didn't even read it. When I heard those words. And obviously the woman, the voice that reads it is a lady's voice, and she reads it in the sweetest way. But even her sweet words couldn't help but slap me across the face with her nice tone of voice. But yeah, what do we make of that?
I don't know if I'm looking at it too simply.
Simplistically.
Is that the word? Whatever the word is. I don't know if I'm looking at it basic. But for me, if you ask God to direct you in what you should be, doing and achieving, then it shouldn't be hard to do to fulfill that. I think what it is that sometimes we are selfish and it's like, no, I'm going to go for this career path or whatever, or this purpose or this business opportunity because it's going to make me the most money, and then I'll try and fit God in making sure that, I get Sabbath off so I'm witnessing there. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like that's when we do it wrong, because we put ourselves first and then we try and fit God in afterwards. Hey. So you are technically still, honouring God because you're still, dropping a track every now and again on the desk,
If ever.
But, you're doing your little part. But I think to do it fully, and there's a word that, I've lost it now. There was a word that they use, even the love of Christ is enshrined in the heart. That just means that your whole being, everything about you is going to be fulfilling God's will, so that whether it is in your work, God will naturally be in it because you've asked him for the direction in the first place. But I think the problem is, like I said before, is when you do it the other way around, where you're still trying to, tick that box in. Yeah, God is in it.
Yeah.
But was God in it first or was God in it after?
And I can't with the job that I do now, I remember talking to God about it before I applied and whatnot, but it was the conversation went more, Lord, this is what I'm gonna do. I hope you're in it. Unfortunately for me, I did not go, Lord. And to be fair, I didn't go, Lord, please show me where you want me to be. I did not do that. But if I'm honest, yeah. I think, the cool thing is that I feel as though God is, or I'm aware that God is making it the right place for me to be, because of certain things that have been happening and certain conversations had and all sorts. It's the place where I'm meant to be. But then what I've realized is what you're saying with the tick, I feel like what I have done is, and not just with this aspect of life, not just with work, but I've tried to shoehorn God in afterwards rather than going, God, what do you want me to do? Or where, what is your will for me today, tomorrow? I have not been doing that. And it's something that I'd like to start doing. And this chapter, it puts it no other way. Straight away, I was like, okay, yeah, I've not been doing this. Everything has been, it's always started with, I'm going to do this, Lord, please bless it, rather than, Lord, I'm going into something that you will bless because it's what you want me to do. And you will not bless what you have ordained.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think.
Go on. I want to say to the listeners, though, don't think that just because you may not have followed God's plan to the T that he won't still bless what you do. And if you, you know, genuinely ask God to direct you where you are now, he will still help you. But I think, like Alvin was saying, even with my career at the minute, don't get me wrong, I wanted to be a doctor, definitely. Yeah, and I did ask God, but I was very hopeful that our plans just happened to be the same. And obviously, as things have revealed, I do believe it's weird. I was having this conversation with my friend the other day. Like, how do you know whether it is God's plan, or are things just working out in a way that it seems like it's God's plan right now, but then in the future you look back and think actually maybe it wasn't?
Yeah,
I think that was going to be the point that I was thinking about as you said that.
I think there's two principles to this, isn't it? Like, there's that whole like, come now, let us reason together type thing. Because at the end of the day, it's not like God is willing
to give us choice.
You to sit down and say to him, I don't really want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen examples of that, you know what I'm saying? So I think your point is very important of don't beat yourself up if you haven't. But I think what Christ is showing here, well, Christ has a specific reason, like specific purpose, and he has a general but a specific purpose as well. And that's said in, like, so he says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So he's come to give, not to receive. You know what I'm saying? And he's come to give his life for that was his specific thing. We're here to minister. You get me? That's our thing that we can take out of that. We're not here to die. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not our purpose. Well,
not yet.
No. But I know what you mean.
Dying to save.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. So, I was just joking about it.
So I do think it's interesting, and I feel the same way in terms of like. A lot of the times, again, I like the word that you use, like shoehorned in, but I think it comes in the verses, like in the stuff above. It was talking about bathing and like smelling like Christ, isn't it? If you're doing that, you're technically wherever you go, where you could be in prison, wherever you go, you're gonna smell like Christ. So, like, it's not that.
Do you know what it is?
The principle of it is we need to wake up in the morning and start our day with Christ. That's the basic thing, isn't it? We've said this a million times, I don't follow it sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be completely honest. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to surrender your life to God and tell him and him be with you every minute and hour of the day. That's a hard thing to be able to do, but we have to start doing that. Otherwise, we're not going to be walking... You know, everyone says walking in your purpose. A very cloudy statement, but you're not going to be doing that. So,
I guess the reason why it hit me so hard is this week I was studying Acts. Like, I was studying the life of Paul, right? And there's a point where Paul wants to go. He has this plan to go to certain places, and I think he's going to end up in Spain at some point. So that's his plan, and he all of this is to do. Mind, he's doing the work of God. Like, his plan is to go and preach in these certain places, and he's told. I want to say he's told, don't go to Jerusalem. I think it was Jerusalem where he's told not to go to, and he's told that by like several people. The daughters of, I want to say Philip's daughters, I can't remember, but like, have a vision for him not to go there. Someone else comes and says, and this directed by the Spirit, do not go there. And he goes anyway. His motive being, he's going to do the work of God. But like, you cannot do, like, almost like Saul did as in Old Testament Saul did, where he sacrificed the animals that he should not have sacrificed when he captured them.
Yeah.
God would rather we obey than sacrifice. Mm. But then at the same time, what Cam is saying, like, with come let us reason together, and with what I was saying earlier, the counter to it with what Cameron is saying is, God does give us choice as well, that there are things that we ought to decide in life, and or that there are places where like we're free to make those decisions, like there are things that we ought to make decisions on, but then
the caveat, but he knows being, best.
He knows
that's,
best.
But that's what I'm saying though. But like, even in that, let us come, let us reason together.
Yeah.
When you're like, sometimes when your parents are talking to you, you're not taking it in.
Yeah.
But it's fine for them to have their opinion, but they kind of do know best.
They do.
Not you know what I'm saying. But then it's the but then it's do, also yeah. it's also for you to make the decision yeah. as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I guess what I mean is like, there's some decisions where God says, I think there's I'm not even sure anymore like I think that their decisions,
like, he lets us make them even though
no not like where there it's a decision which is their decisions which are inconsequential, so like where if we make the decision it's God is happy either decision we make. I think there's such decisions, and sometimes so for example later on it talks about in the various spheres that we are in our professions, in whatever job you are, she talks about the mechanic. There's a point when she talks about the mechanic.
Yeah.
Can have the same influence that Christ had as a carpenter.
Mm.
Like, so that it's saying, almost in wherever you are, that your primary goal must be, number one, to please God. Number two, the salvation of others, but obviously not in the form that Christ was doing, in that he died for us, as Cameron was pointing out, but more in the sense of like working for the souls of others. Mm-hmm. But also, and so crucial, and again, it hits this point several times, complete... Oh, Justin. Justin's faded away. Oh, well. Complete and utter selflessness. And selflessness in the sense that, like, everything that Christ did, he did for someone else. Mm. And then the paragraph that I read before, the next chapter, the next paragraph down, it says, so those who are partakers of the grace of Christ will be ready to make any sacrifice that others for whom he died may share the heavenly gift. They will do all they can to make the world better for their stay in it. The spirit is the sure outgrowth of the soul truly converted. Sorry, this spirit is the sure outgrowth of the soul truly converted. So having that spirit of utter selflessness will be the growth of, like, it'll be the evidence or the result or the growth of us being fully converted to Christ. I don't know if anyone else has.
Yeah.
While I try and re-add Justin.
No, I was just gonna say, again, like, it's echoed like further down. So like, what part is it? SC 80.1, and it's basically again speaking about that unselfish labor, and it's speaking about like how deep that is to do that. Mm. And again, like, it's talking about those who exercise the Christian grace will grow and become strong, and basically become strong workers for God, basically. They will have clear spiritual perception. So, Christ is the thing with God, isn't it? That's why it's so cool, like, to have a God like the way he is, because he's not trying to control man. You know what I'm saying? He's not trying to do this. He's not puppet master. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, eventually, like, not you of your own self will have clear spiritual perceptions, because you're feeding into that so much. That's what you end up with.
Yeah.
That's like, if I read this book long enough, I'm gonna memorize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna know where individual chapters are. So like, when like you, whether you're a mechanic or a hairdresser or whatever it is, like you'll just move how Christ moves because you're feeding into that so much. Like, I remember Esther said on one of the previous downtimes, something about, I quoted it as well, I forgot it. Something about you can't hear God with a closed Bible. And I think that's so true, like in terms of you have to have an open Bible in order for you to hear God. And then to hear God, like he's giving you instructions, he's giving you guidance, wisdom and that. And then that's informing your decision making ultimately.
Come on, you become
a better worker in it. So yeah, man. I'm sorry, it's working.
Preach, Cameron.
No, I'm not a preacher, bro. That's Wes.
Nah, I was gonna say, obviously off the back of what Cameron said, yeah, that like basically it's like equality in like the religion, basically. Obviously in SC 79.2 at the bottom it does say that like but in his infinite love he chose to make us co-workers with himself, with Christ and with the angels, that we might share the blessing, the joy, the spiritual uplifting, and which results in the unselfish ministry. Obviously, reading that, it's like, obviously, we always have this notion that, like, we're lower than the angels, if that makes sense. As in, we're intentionally, like, lower than the angels, or, like,
yeah, but obviously, the ministry. Are.
Now, we are, but, like, the ministry remains the same, if that makes sense. So, like, the fact that God wants us now to, like, kind of, like, basically just do his will, do like what needs to be done, like I feel like that is powerful in like reading that. Honestly, that's what, to be honest, that's the first time me seeing that and being like, I'm being like mad, like that makes sense.
Yeah,
so yeah, that was just something that kind of touched me
as you read that. You I was on the same literal same paragraph as you were. Is it mad?
Sorry, what was your head?
Yeah, literally, I was.
I'm not writing stuff, Justin.
I'm on album.
No. It's not even. Nah. It has nothing to do with me. This is the direction of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Wow. Well.
Exactly. We got the light.
Put. You have to edit this down. put. The organ. Thank you. Organ. That's what it's called.
Man, to the chord, you know. I'll think about it.
On Cameron's bit earlier, where he quoted Esther as well.
Put a chord there. Okay, yeah.
What did Esther say? With the, you cannot hear God.
That's not
cold.
Esther in the Bible. That's Esther.
I know. Esther. Who did the sundown? Yeah, who did the downtown?
Downtown.
Like,
downtown, that, yeah.
Allow me.
So, what got me...
Shut up!
What got me...
I've seen a pattern, you know. I've seen a pattern with NHS, you know.
Mate.
So we've had the vaccine.
Are you gonna?
We're not talking about that right now.
I was just saying.
I
was just saying.
We're talking about work.
If you want to be the first to get on the Titanic, be my guest. Edit that out because
I'll take it.
I can swim.
Let's stay on topic. That was my fault. I should have made that comment. I was just being.
Let's move on.
Okay.
And if there's a girl like Rose, I'm pushing her off the boat, bro. Pushing her off the boat, man.
Hey, she was cheeky, you know.
I think both of them could very easily have fit on that boat,
bro.
On that door.
That's what happens when you anyway.
Easily
when you whip. Tell him like yeah.
It's that's not even.
Okay, let's go into.
It's what happens when a director wants an interesting ending.
God Money might... Happy Mech.
Uh-huh.
Let's not forget.
What's his name? James Cameron. So the bit that got me in the same paragraph is like God might have committed the message of the gospel and all the work of loving ministry to the heavenly angels. He might have employed other means for accomplishing his purpose. Is it crazy that God has set God instead of he as important a role as important a job this is, God gave it to us. so that we can be partakers of his work. That's one. But then the crazy part is, I'll talk personally, I have not esteemed the job that God has left me with, or the job that God has placed before me, as highly as God has esteemed it. So that, like, there are many opportunities where I have had the opportunity to do God's work that I have not taken the opportunity, or that I don't look at life the way that God goes, actually, this is what I'd like you to do. I want you to be selfless with this. I want you to fit into the sort of the way that things in heaven operate, where the angels are not doing what they're doing for themselves, they're doing it for us. And they are Christ, who is God, our creator, did what he did, not for himself, but for us. And yet, we don't view things that way that God, the way that God wants us to view them with. I know that this topic is about work, like with our work and the jobs that we have, but also like in other aspects, like loads of little other aspects of life. I don't think that I do that. And it is kind of a big deal that
I think some of what we view as God's work, it doesn't look like the track given.
That's not what I'm saying, but
I know for some people that's all they see is God's work, and it, and they may like view other people that aren't, you know what I'm saying. So I think,
although it is true to say God's, that is also part of God's work, but it's not the only, is what are you saying, that it's not the only work, it's not the only way of
that's,
the
that's,
work
that's essentially
oh, okay. It's like being polite and kind to your colleague. Some people are
well that's what I'm saying. No, it's just that's what I'm saying. Some people give out tracks, but they're not kind, or like they're not like. So how are you really doing like, or like the thing is, some people are good at giving tracks, innit? Like some people are, or like they're cool with doing that, innit?
And it's, but what, some and it's people exactly give out what tracks God has called. Like this. It's exactly they're what just, God has called them to do. Like, I like
some people are violent with the track giving. You get me? He's flicking out there and then that, trying to box man up and that. You get me?
Whatever your hands find you to do, do it with all your mind.
With all your heart.
With, was it all your heart? Sorry.
I don't know.
It's all your heart now. It is now.
With all your heart. Heart or might?
I think it's heart. It's one of those ones where a different version will say a different thing. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah. Okay.
Where do you want to go?
I was gonna jump down a little bit, and so this is paragraph 80.2, and it seems to be hammering home this point, which like, yeah, it seems to be hammering home this point about the spirit of unselfish labor. So it goes, the spirit of unselfish labor for others gives depth, stability, and Christ-like loveliness to the character, and brings peace and happiness to its possessor. The aspirations are elevated. So it's not like it's not like, you know what the crazy thing is? Having God there first does not make you go, oh, I want less of this. It makes you go, I want to do this the best way I can, and because I'm doing it for God, and I'm, you know, so like, so that Daniel, everything that Daniel would have done, he became essentially a prime minister, or like he became one of the chief advisors, the chief to Nebuchadnezzar and several other. Kings, and even you could even say kingdoms after Nebuchadnezzar's, purely because God was absolutely first. In so that even in his eating, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, McDonald's ceases to be. McDonald's needs to cease.
I went yesterday.
Yo, bro.
I didn't want to go tomorrow.
I told myself I'm not going yesterday. I didn't go yesterday. I didn't go the day before, but I went the day before that.
And I was just super hungry. Like, I had my dinner. Like, yeah. I had my dinner at home. Then I went Mackey's.
Yeah, but you're slim. Does it matter? I'm not.
You know what? I'm bless. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there we go. Even I need to eat more like Daniel. But yeah, so it provides depth, stability, Christ-like loveliness to character, and brings peace and happiness to the possessor. Go ahead.
I wanted to. Talifa, was you going to say something?
Mm-mm. Go on, Cam.
Oh, okay. I was going to see what you man thought about this. So it says, those who endeavor to maintain a Christian life by passively accepting the blessing that comes through by means of grace and doing nothing for Christ are simply trying to live by eating without working. And in the spiritual as in the natural world, this always results in degeneration and decay. So what do we think about that? I thought that was quite interesting still how she put that.
But you know what, for some people that's going to go over their heads because they don't like, there's like selfish people in the world where all they do is take. They've never actually had to work for anything themselves because always taking from others.
So make it,
do you know what I mean? So they will never understand, like, you know, the whole thing about working for what you eat, it's the fact that you're providing. It's the whole thing of providing. But there's some people who, no, I'm not talking about people who take shortcuts in life or whatever, I'm talking about people who are, do you know what I mean, like, who just don't do things properly.
Takers,
fraudsters.
Oh, okay.
Criminals. People who like steal, people who like, doesn't say take stuff from people who are hardworking. I'm not saying that sometimes those people are doing it because of a need. Do you get what I mean? Like someone who robs a store because they're hungry. But I'm talking about like, you know, those people who just don't understand the. I mean, I don't necessarily fully understand it because I've never been like in a deprived area of my life or anything like that. But I still understand the concept of the fact that things don't just get given to you. You have to work for it and you've got to put something in it to get something out of it.
Yeah.
And it goes the same with spiritually. You don't just get to know God just because you've been placed on this earth. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to work to get to know him, study, interact with people, share testimonies, all these different things. It's not just given to you.
Yeah. I just see it as a form of like spiritual obesity, you know?
Come on.
Can't lie to you. Like, in terms of your... And this is why I think, and we've kind of talked about it in terms of there's two kind of little bit of like extremes. So like with like obviously obesity, like extreme obesity, like you're just constantly consuming and you're not using energy. You know what I'm saying?
What happens to the body
and
when you
I
do
feel
that?
Like that's huh?
What happens to the body when you do that?
Well, you store more fat cells. You know, your heart might start getting affected. You know. All your organs somehow. I'm not a medical person, so I don't know. You just, you know what I'm saying? Like, your body's under more stress, basically, because it has to do more. But also, you're less healthy. So when you're just constantly taking, like, that's why you can't, you're not holy just because you read the Bible. Just, and listen to what I'm saying, you're not holy just because you read the Bible. You're holy because
you apply it.
You apply it. You live. But also,
you're holy because God made.
But God is the one. God is the one.
You're right.
It's just words. You get me? Without the pen of inspiration, without the pen of inspiration, energy. Why it's just writing was. You know what I'm saying?
Don't use the word was. Nah, use the word
was. It's writing was. It's true.
That's awesome. That's what
they
taught
me.
What
does was mean for people who don't know what was? What does was mean?
Just
for those who don't.
What does was mean? This means foolishness. Like,
there we go.
A load of rubbish.
Like so essentially, yeah.
Listen, go on. Oh.
No. I was just gonna qualify it again, but.
Oh right. No. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, nah, it's fine. So here's I'm gonna quickly read as quickly as I can from as quickly as I can from James 2:14-26. I know.
Calvin. No, you're not.
Hey, you know what, to be fair, he makes us sound like we don't like the Bible.
It's just like people who are listening. No,
it's gonna be it's gonna be real quick. Key points. Okay.
Zoom call's gonna end again in 7 minutes.
Okay. I'll be literally less than a minute. That's not true.
That's a lie.
I know. What does it profit?
Manage expectations.
What does it profit my brethren if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the thing which they need for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I'll leave it there, actually. I won't go into everything
else.
So
I feel like,
basically the verse speaks for itself, nothing more to be said there.
Now, you know what? People think that we laugh for no reason. Basically, we're laughing because essentially, after Alvin said what he said...
With that verse, yeah.
With that verse, the whole Alvin's laptop shut down, went to sleep, like...
Good night.
And, yeah, we basically stopped the recording. So, this is actually... This is the day that it's going out.
Yep.
We're still recording the end of it, basically. So, this is real dedication, so...
Actually, yeah. We're leaving it there. We're going to end it there on that verse, on James 2, verse, what was it, 14? If I remember.
Yeah, 14.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just going to go through the last parts of the chapter. So, Justin is, you know...
Currently driving.
You know, he's in the universe somewhere. We don't know where. Could be on Jupiter, could be on Mars, you know. Talifa is doing her thing, you know. She's asleep, but she's asleep for good reason. Don't worry. Don't watch that. She only dances for herself. Anyway, so the last part, have you got it open in front of you, Alv?
What opened the?
The last part.
Oh, okay. I do now.
Okay. Cool. No. Sorry. I was kind of just gonna comment on the last part. So, when I was just reading it through again, it's kind of talking about the little that we can still do, and it's kind of talking about the work that we do isn't always gonna get mad success or mad recognition, but it doesn't mean that it's not impacting. Like, I remember there's been a few times where I've been involved in stuff and it's been quite big, you know, talking like hundreds of people have turned up and stuff. And then there's been other times where man's done stuff and like it's just been the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at a certain point you can feel like you're almost failing because you're not getting those big numbers. But I feel God taught me this lesson from early. Like, it's literally not about the numbers, but it's about you being consistent and you doing God's work. That's it. So as long as you're doing your little thing, that's fine. It doesn't need clout. Like, we're not about that. Like, but it's easier said than done though, because sometimes we can even get in on ourselves of like, oh my gosh, like I need mad recognition for everything that I do. But that's not what we should be seeking for, man. But it's easy to slip into that though.
The humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. They may not realize that they are doing any special good, but by their unconscious influence, they may start waves of blessing that will widen and deepen. And the blessing, and the blessed result, or the blessed result, they may never know until the day of final reward. They do not feel or know that they are doing anything great. They are not required to weary themselves with anxiety about success. They have only to go forward quietly, doing faithfully the work that God's providence assigns, and their life will not be in vain. Their own souls will be growing more and more into the likeness of Christ. They are workers together with God in this life, and are thus fitting for the higher work and the unshadowed joy of the life to come. Do you know, when you were saying what you were saying, it reminds me of what's his face? Noah.
Okay. Yeah, you could say that.
For like 120 years, and only 8, including himself, walked onto the ark.
Yeah. And he kind of says that, like, he kind of echoes that, like, there's a verse that says, so shall it be in like the days of Noah. So like the same type of thing is going to happen now. So like the true message isn't going to be very popular, you know what I'm saying? And only the few are actually going to listen to it. Like, because I'm not going to lie, before Corona happened, I didn't think the world could shut down the way it did, but it did. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be more stuff. I think Corona's kind of light. In terms of, yes, there has been a lot of death. But it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse.
Yeah. But,
like
this Corona, is the beginning.
Like, what I'm trying to say is, Corona is not like, it's not like the HIV. It's not a guaranteed killer. Like, when you're looking at percentage wise, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, in the last days, it's talking about plagues in Egypt. It was talking about plagues, like things that will take you out. Like, if you've got it, you're gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, that's what I meant by that. I don't take coronavirus seriously, but yeah.
And not just, I would say, not just in a disease sense as well. It's like, there's worse to come. Like, I often think that a lot of times we look at the world and we go, how crazy is the world getting? How crazy is, like, we see the increase of, like, all sorts of weird and, I nearly said weird and wonderful, but weird and not wonderful things. But, like, you see the increase of just madness going on. And it's not even at its worst.
Well, it depends though, Alf, because it depends who you're working for. So if you're if you're going with the grain, you're not going to notice it as much.
Cam.
But if you're working for God, you're going to notice it. If that makes sense. Like, 100. At one time I thought, you know, if you, for example, put church later, and to a certain degree, like, I still kind of think it now, if you put it later, people are more likely to come. And to a certain extent, it is true, but in a certain sense, it's people's mindset. Because now I'm seeing that people, like, it's hard for people to open up their laptop and, you know, join a thing, you know what I'm saying?
Help me understand. I didn't quite catch. Say that again.
So basically, what I'm saying is, like, I at one time I basically thought that if you made church later, people were more likely to come.
Oh, and as
to
in a certain the time.
Extent, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starts. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So to a certain extent, that is true, but, like, it's also about people's mindset as well. So, like, now, even me included, like, I find it hard now to even, like, open up my laptop and go to a service and it. but it's not what the service is doing, but it's kind of also where my mind is at.
Yeah. I had the same.
But I'd never. I would never place. But at the same time, why I'm saying all of that though, I would never place like it's 100%. Sometimes it is because you're sick of Zoom, I can't lie. But sometimes it's because you're just not, you're not feeding into God as much, so therefore your hunger for spiritual things is kind of less.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Mm. I remember having a similar conversation with like someone at my church, where I was like, you know what, if church started up, like, or if the main service started up in the afternoon and blah 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 blah, or I think, no, actually it might have been about Sabbath school, but if it started later, maybe more people would come, more people would turn up, which as you said is true. But then what the point that he made is we've got up at stupid o'clock in the morning to go to work every other weekday. It shows where our priority lies, like the fact that we would rather push this back and do everything, like get there late and not even care. It doesn't even bother me that I've got to church or Sabbath school late. It shows where our priorities lie.
And you know, I think this is an interesting argument by itself. You know what I'm saying? Like in terms of like or discussion by itself. But it is. We'll finish this off first. Let us know what you think about that. Actually, like, DM us on Insta if you disagree or agree with us in it.
Very soon as well on that point. Very soon. It's in the work. It's already, like, we're gonna have basically an anonymous like way that you can interact with us, where you can drop comments, questions, prayer requests, anything basically, anything that you want to say to us. That's coming up very soon, so be on the lookout for that, and we'll probably be announcing it when we do have it up and live, but just be on the lookout for that. But in the meantime, definitely do what Cam says, message us on Instagram,
just shoot us a DM. You get me? Like, anything you say to man will be kept anonymous anyway, so yeah. But okay, yeah, let's the end of it. I'm trying to think. Okay, cool. What did you like, what was the one point, we'll end on this, what was the one point that you found out of this chapter then?
Really, to go back to what we were saying yesterday, for me anyway, I can no longer like shoehorn God into what I'm doing. He must be like in the front of my mind with all my plans, everything like that. It's easier said than done, but it needs to be done.
I think, okay, off saying that, practically, how do you do that? So I believe how I've done it at certain points is you start your day off with God, and whenever you're going to start work, for example, so like start an assignment, like especially if it's an assignment or you're feeling anxious about work, just literally keep God in your mind. I know it's difficult with, you know, especially when you're at work because people are asking you stuff or whatever, but when you try and literally keep God in your mind, like at the forefront of your mind, like you make different decisions.
100%.
Like, and to break down what I mean by God, I need to follow this as well, but try and start remembering like verses and it. Just find whatever verse it is. It could be, you know, Genesis 1 verse 1. Just find something that you can remember. Start with something. Jesus wept. You know what I'm saying? Keep that in the forefront of your mind. You know what I mean? It might make you sad. I don't know.
Shall I go here tonight? Just remember that Jesus wept. He don't want you to go there.
Oh gosh.
For real.
Yeah.
Good piece of advice, man. I have nothing further to say.
Yeah, but yeah, the work and the life. Yeah. The work, man.
Mm.
Work.
Okay. Good night, bye. Everybody. Bye bye.